Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I know it's been a few weeks since I have been uploading consistently. I went on holiday, I had a lot going on. And to be honest, I actually didn't really know what to do a podcast about because sometimes I feel like, oh, well, I've covered the basics in, you know, nearly most episodes. But I thought I'd make a podcast starting my mini cut and document that. So where have I been? So yeah, I've been on holiday. I've been mindfully eating, which I said in one of my other podcasts. I think it was one of my most recent one or the one before that. Mindfully eating, didn't weigh myself, was just eating to fuel myself, protein with every meal, wasn't worried about tracking calories and macros. And it was a lovely reset, I have to say. It really was. And I really enjoyed it. So this episode is called Mini Cut, okay? And I know in my previous episode, one of my most recent episodes, I said, oh, do you know what? I don't want to focus on body composition for the rest of the year. I don't think I said rest of the year, but for the time being, just want to enjoy food, just want to eat it without tracking calories and stuff. And I did do that. However, I did go on holiday. And in another recent episode, I did say that I want to try practice stay within a range. I think it was the same episode, actually. Intuitive eating was the name of the episode, which is what I was doing for these past 4 weeks, I think, 4 or 5 weeks, intuitively eating. So basically, I said that I want to stay within a range, which is between 56 kg to 60 kg. And if I start going over 60 kg, it's time to pull the reins in a bit. So let's just say I had a really fun holiday. When I went, lads, it's not that I overate, but when you go from, you know, tracking calories to just mindfully eating and you go on holiday, it's like, no, enjoy the ice cream. Enjoy the pastries. Like, I wouldn't say I overate as much as I did in Portugal now because it was just fresh off a photo shoot. So like my appetite was huge. Like we just had breakfast, lunch, dinner. What did we do for breakfast when we were on holiday? We went to Spain. We went to Torremolinos. Most mornings we had kind of like, you know, a really nice breakfast. So like there was this place called Soul Food, I think it was called. And it was along this strip in Torremolinos, up towards, what was the name of the place? It was down the end of the strip, so not up towards Belmedina, the other end. So it was about a 25-minute walk from the Sol Timer Hotel or Timer Sol, whatever you call it. And we would walk. I got a lot of steps in when I was on holiday, I have to say. Like most days, we're getting like 15,000 to 20,000 steps because there's just so much. The strip is so long of shops, food places. Like, yeah, we loved it as well. And then my feet were in bits, blistered to pieces. And then obviously we were right beside the marina, so a lot of lovely food places were there. But we went to this place called Soul Food, I think it was called, and they did like, you know, overnight oats, protein pancakes, protein shakes, like, you know, a lot of stuff with eggs, protein, etc. Like we went there two of the mornings. We were there for 5 days, and then, you know, the first day we got there in the afternoon, so we didn't have breakfast. And we actually didn't have a full Irish any of the mornings. I think on the other mornings we just had like an early lunch. And usually what we do when we're away as well is we actually go to a local deli and get a cooked chicken and, you know, buy a baguette and make some chicken rolls. But we couldn't find a deli anywhere close to where we were staying. So we would just go out and have, my memory is so bad, lads. Like I am like Dory the fish. I'm trying to sit down now and think, oh, I had like a walnut salad one of the days with a breaded chicken. That was really nice for lunch. And then for dinner, like we kind of like pigged out for dinner. Like we go out and have a pizza in one of the most recommended restaurants we got for pizza, which was Pinocchio's, if you ever go to Torremolinos. Angus Steakhouse, we went for steak one night. That was huge. We shared it between us and we shared some sides between us. We went to an Indian. Cinnamon Club was the name of the Indian. That was lovely. These were all down near the marina. And was there another one we went to? Let me think. Was it an Italian? No, we didn't go to an Italian. God, I'm trying to think now. My memory is so bad. It's going to come back to me in a couple of minutes. But yeah, we tried some really, really nice food. Really enjoyed it. We had a Mexican. That's what we did. We had a Mexican one of the nights. That was really nice too. And I can't think of the other one. I think it was called Cantania was the name of the Mexican. But again, all down near the marina. If you ever go on holiday, that's where the best food spots are now, to be honest. And yeah, enjoyed it. Had a great time. Loads of cocktails. But obviously, you know, cocktails laced with calories. The food that we ate out at night would have been, that we ate at night would have been laced with calories. Like, but I wasn't worried about that. I was just worried about having fun and switching off and not being worried about body composition or anything. And I basically said to myself, okay, well, I get home on this date and, you know, I'm going to give myself a week to kind of get back into a routine and then I'm going to start a mini cut. So what is a mini cut? So a normal fat loss phase, well, it's depending on your goal, to be honest, or how much fat you have to lose. It's usually like 12 to 16 weeks, but a mini cut is like kind of half that. So it's only like 8 weeks. So I am roughly now 59.5, 60 kg, okay? So I was 62 when I started my photo shoot prep. So the weight is starting to creep back up. Now, I would have built some muscle over the last 16 weeks because 16 weeks ago is when I started, when I finished my photo shoot prep. And I wanted a good 4 months where I was just back to maintaining in a small surplus, you know, building strength in the gym, get my energy back up. And that was great. Like, I don't want to get back down to 53 kg because I hadn't got an arse or a tit to my name. And it just wasn't a good look. Although I looked good in photos, you know, but it was just for that particular day. Like, I remember how flat my arse would look in jeans and stuff like that. Or how when I was trying on bikinis for my holiday to Portugal, like the string bikinis, like I had no chest and I just got really insecure about that. But as I gained the weight back over time, I have boobs again and I have an arse again. So it's actually quite clear to see where some of my body fat goes. And I'm not chasing, like I said, I'm not chasing a low scale number again. However, in July, I was around 56 kg and that was a really nice weight and I really like that. Now, look, I might get to 57. Like, I'm planning on losing 4 kg over these 8 weeks. Now, there's 2.2 pounds in 1 kg. So that's roughly a pound a week. Okay, so over 8 weeks, that's 8 pounds. And anything else is a bonus. So 56 was actually a nice number for me. And, you know, I had my boobs, I had my arse, and I felt really confident and my clothes were nice and snug on me. Like, I'm in a size 8, okay? So I can kind of feel size 8 getting a bit tight on me now. So that's why I'm kind of like reining in a bit. So I kind of want to get down back to like 56. So that's not going to take long. But like I said, I've been building muscle. So I might get to 57 and, you know, you can be heavier on the scale, but look more defined and toned because I've been building muscle over the last 14 weeks. So I could have built an extra kg of muscle. So my body will look like I did when I was 56 kg, but I'll probably be 57, 58, you know. But that's why I love taking before and after pictures. So I took my photos. It started Monday, which I'm doing this podcast on a Wednesday. I started on a Monday, which was the 9th of September, okay? Took my before photos. And I'll probably take, I don't know whether to take them weekly or not, or else take them, you know, take it at the halfway point, like 4 weeks. But the scale will be a measure of progress too, as well as pictures and measurements and how my clothes fit. So I have a pair of jean shorts that started getting quite tight. They actually fit me grand when I was going over to Tormelinas. And then as I was coming home, you're carrying so much water, like you're so bloated after holiday. Like, they wear that bit tight and uncomfortable to sit in. So, you know, when they kind of feel a little bit more snug and fit like a glove and they don't feel tight on me, I'll know. Even if the scale isn't changing, I'll be like, I know I'm dropping body fat. So why am I doing it? So again, not to chase a low scale number. If I was to remain at maintenance or in a small surplus, okay, so if I was to continue building muscle, I have to be in a small surplus. That way it's going to keep compounding. So I've been in one since the middle of May, and that's about 6-7 months till December, all right? So Christmas and all involved. So by the time I got to January, I would be compounding weight over 6-7 months. And I might go back up to 65 kg or, you know, yeah. Like, so I don't want to create more work for myself come January where I have to go into a longer fat loss phase and, you know, probably go on a harder cut. And I don't want that. So the purpose of a mini cut is to actually give you a surplus break, because sometimes you can do it the other way around. You can be doing a fat loss phase and take a diet break to give yourself, you know, maybe a couple of weeks at maintenance just to prevent diet fatigue and, you know, just constantly thinking and counting calories and constantly being in a deficit. So the purpose of this is to actually negate any weight gain. So you're cutting back on any excess fat that's gained in a surplus and two food failed holidays. So that way, when I get to Christmas and, you know, when I'm enjoying the festivities from November onwards, because that's when I plan to finish at the start of November, I can, you know, enjoy a couple of drinks. I can go out and have food with friends. I can go and socialize and not have to worry about all this work I'm going to have to do in January. So that's basically it. It's just to make life easier for me when it comes to January. I probably won't even do a diet in January, to be honest. I probably won't start another one for summer until maybe March. I think I might be going to New York in March, so that's not really a place where you show off skin. So maybe when I come home from New York, I'll enjoy New York. And then maybe I'll kind of start, you know, shedding a few pounds then for summertime. Because you can't diet all year round, lads. You can't. It's not good for your hormones. But I plan to do that mini cut for 8 weeks. So then if I get back to 56 kg, 57, whatever, 8 pounds is the goal, come the start of November, happy days. So it means then when it gets to January, I might put on a kilo or two over Christmas. Who knows? I'll still be very mindful. I won't go back to tracking calories after this mini cut is done. Again, I'll practice mindfully eating my 3 meals a day, which is something I actually want to talk about as well. So I usually have 3 meals a day and 2 snacks. Okay, that's usually what I've been doing in a deficit for the past couple of years when I've been in one. And I just found that like I get very impatient, or, you know, an hour feels like 2 hours when I'm waiting to have my next meal. So when I was mindfully eating, I actually had 5 small meals. So I was like, why don't I carry that into a deficit? Now, people are looking at my stories. I'm actually documenting it on Instagram. And they're like, how are you having so much food? Like, what calories are you on? Now, I'll get to the calories bit in a minute. How are you having so much food? Like, I have just said I've done multiple calorie deficits over the last couple of years. So I know how to make meals smaller. So every meal is going to be high in protein. Like the portions aren't going to be as big if it was 3 meals, you know. But when you have to like spread out calories over 5 meals, the portions are going to be a little bit smaller, but you're still in your calorie deficit at the end of the day. But it just means that I'm eating more frequently and I'm not having to wait as long to eat next. Now that works for me, but you might be listening to this thinking, I don't have time to cook 5 meals a day. And that's fine. That works for you. You have your 3 meals. If you're happy doing that, that's fine. But I'm doing this because it means I'll probably be more likely to stick to it and sustain it and be happier and enjoy it that bit more, rather than feel like, oh, looking at the clock all the time thinking, oh, well, only another hour till I can eat. Like now I'm eating every 3 hours rather than every 4 to 5 hours, which is great, you know. And I've been doing it now. This is my tour day doing it, and it's actually great. And I'm craving less shy, to be honest, because I'm being fed properly. There's protein with every meal. Now, that's not to say that I'm not enjoying chocolate and sugar and stuff. Like, I include that every day. But anyway, that's working for me at the moment. So that's what I'm doing. And a lot of people are asking, how many calories are you on? So obviously, you have to go and use a TD calculator to find out what your calories are. It will tell you your maintenance calories. I actually have my own calorie calculator now. So if you go onto my Instagram page and you go to the top of my page and there's a link there and it says services I offer, if you click on that, you'll be brought to my link tree, and it actually has a calorie calculator that I got built. And it's going to ask you for your level of activity, your height, your weight, your age, which is all an important. These are all important factors that dictate how many calories you should be on. So there's no point asking me what calories I'm eating, because I have a completely different lifestyle to you, completely different body, height, weight, age, level of activity. My calories are irrelevant to you, because if you copy them, you're not going to get the same results I will, because you're either going to be eating too many calories or eating too little, going by what you weigh and your height, your age, etc. No two people are on the same amount of calories. Well, they might be kind of similarly if they're a similar person. But what was the point of my story again? Yeah, so if you use my calorie calculator, you'll be given your maintenance calories, and then you take 500 calories away from that, and then that's your deficit. Okay, but this is what I'm saying. Like, people have been texting me, oh, I've used a TD calculator and my calorie deficit is 1100 calories. Lads, that means that your maintenance is 1600. You either made an error, or you don't have any body fat to lose to begin with, because someone that's coming in with such low calories means that they're probably underweight. And you might think, oh, well, I have belly fat, but you're probably underweight, okay? You probably just have some belly fat because that's where it's being stored. And I know this is going to sound like I'm going off on a tangent. I had a 90-minute call with a girl from a place called the Fit Clinic, okay? Her name was Susan, and she is an expert with nutrition when it comes to perimenopausal women, okay? And I had a 90-minute call with her, and I asked her every question under the sun about perimenopause. And that's a separate podcast in itself, and I'll probably talk about that next week. But just to touch on one point, it is a symptom of perimenopause that you will start to store more body fat around your abdomen, okay? And you can't spot reduce belly fat there is research coming out that you can, okay, but I'm not even going to get into that because I think only an experienced person at a high level would be able to kind of go down that road. But it's just going to take time and it's just going to take consistency, but you're not giving it long enough, all right? You're not. You're waiting 2 weeks and then you get frustrated and you give up and then you start binging on curries and takeaways thinking, I'm no use at this, okay? Give it 2 to 3 months instead of 2 to 3 weeks, all right? But I actually get clients to send me photographs of themselves when they start doing one-on-one with me. So I see what they look like, okay, at the start. And some of the women are maybe like 48 kg and 50 kg. And I'm thinking, right, these are definitely not going to be carrying an awful lot of body fat. And then when I see them, they're not. But they have like maybe some belly fat and they want to get rid of that. But lads, what I would say is, okay, focus on body recomp because nobody could diet on 1,100 calories, okay? So when you use a TD calculator, it's going to ask you how active you are. And the less active you are, the less food you need because food is energy. So basically that calculator is like, you're sitting on your hole all day, you're sedentary. Why do you need more food? Because you're focusing on body fat. And if I give you more food, you're just going to end up storing it. So this is the bare amount you have to eat for your height, weight, age to lose body fat by sitting on your hole. Because you're not expending any energy, you're not burning any calories by sitting on your hole, okay? Sorry, I keep saying sit on your hole, but you know what I mean. So if you actually get more active, so if you go back onto that calculator and say, I'm active 3 to 5 times a week and you plan to work out 3 to 5 times a week. Now, that's not walking 3 to 5 times a week. That's elevating your heart rate 3 to 5 times a week for about 30 minutes. OK, so that could be doing a spin class. That could be walking, but walking quickly, like power walking. I'm not talking on a leisurely stroll, talking to your mate, having a coffee. I'm talking you want to feel like you're kind of having to breathe heavy while you're power walking. OK. And what happens is the calculator then says, oh, this person's really active. They're going to need more energy. So I'm going to have to give them more food to give them that energy. So it actually allows you to eat more if you're more active. So that's what I would say. Okay. And if you're putting in 3 to 5 times a week and it's still coming in at 1,100 calories or less or whatever, like you need to focus on maintaining your weight and getting stronger in the gym. Okay. So there are the two routes I will go down. I would either increase my activity so you can eat more. Yes, it's a small price to pay, but you get to eat more food. And then you might think it's counterproductive. Oh, well, I'm eating more food, but I want to drop body fat. Yeah, but you're going to be exercised and you're going to be burning it off anyway. So you're still in a deficit. And that calculator takes into account how active you are and it gives you the calories for how active you're going to be while still dropping body fat. So it's aware you want to drop body fat. So here's the bare amount of calories you have to eat if you're active 3 to 5 days a week and still want to drop body fat. Or go back up to maintenance calories, 1600 calories. Let's just say that's what your maintenance is. Okay, 1600 calories. Still be active 3 to 5 days a week and start getting stronger in the gym. Okay, because muscle, building muscle is going to be an investment in future you, not current you. Okay, muscle is like free anti-aging cream. It is. It's going to help you with your mobility. When you are trying to get up out of a chair when you're 80 years of age and it's so easy for you, that's because you did your squats when you were in your 40s and your 50s. When you're able to reach the top shelf of a press and get down the bag of sugar with ease at 80 years of age, that's because you did your shoulder pressing when you were in your 30s, your 40s and your 50s. Okay, when you're able to pick up a box off the ground and it's a heavy box at 80 years of age, that's because you practice your deadlifting, your bent over rows for your back and your RDLs for your hamstrings, all right? Muscle and strength training is so important. Stop listening to the scaremongering, all right? I've been doing it for years. It shapes my body. There's no point dropping all this body fat if you've nothing to show underneath. People are like, I want to tone up. I want to tone this. I want to tone that. There is no toning without strength, okay? There's not. So if you're going into the gym and you're picking up these 1 kg dumbbells and, you know, you're doing 15 reps of a shoulder press and you're not even out of breath or you don't even feel it's a challenge, that's not strength training, okay? That's nearly cardio. So pick up a weight that feels challenging towards the last 3 to 4 reps. And just, yeah, if you want to download my app as well, like that's going to give you a program. It's going to give you a meal plan. Loads of good advice on there as well. Recipe books and stuff. There's a Facebook community. Again, if you go to my bio on my page and click services I offer, you'll get the link to my app there. It's $29.99 per month. It's a rolling subscription, but that might be a good place to start because I don't have any one-on-one spots at the moment. I cap them. Like I literally have 15 one-on-one clients And there's women out there that have hundreds. And I'm not in a position to take on that level of stress at the moment. I'm happy with my 15 clients. I like giving my clients, you know, my utmost attention. And that's just a happy number. I could, you know, increase it a bit if I wanted to. But at the moment, I don't think I'm going to take on any for the foreseeable. Maybe, you know, maybe next month in October, I might open my doors for two or three. I'll see. However, yes, if your calories are really low after using TD calculator, build strength in the gym, do your bit of cardio, and you might notice that you're going to have a body recomp. So you're probably going to drop body fat and build muscle at the same time. So the scale might not change much, but if you're taking pictures every week over 8 weeks, you might notice your appearance is completely changing. You might notice your jeans are getting looser. Stop under eating, okay? Stop under fueling yourself. Stop chasing fat loss because you have a tiny bit of a pouch at the front of your body. It takes consistency, all right? Focus on strength, because that's a lifelong investment, building strengths, all right? You can always get rid of that pouch. It's going to take time and patience. But when you're 80 and you kept chasing a low scale number, under eating a head of lettuce for breakfast, lunch and dinner just because you wanted to get rid of that little belly pouch, and now someone's having to bring you to the toilet at 80 years of age, someone's having to walk up the stairs with you, so you have to get a chairlift installed at the top of your stairs because you didn't want to do your squats, you just wanted to chase a low scale number, okay? Now, that might sound rich coming from me because I'm in a mini quad at the moment, but I've built the muscle. And in fact, I'm probably going to burn more body fat in this 8 week cut because I have so much extra muscle tissue on my body over these last 3 years that I've been building consistently, because your metabolic rate increases. Like, you might appear heavier on the scale, okay, but you look completely different in the mirror. Like, for example, I look at people sometimes online that are the same. No, I started my kind of journey when I was 70 kg, all right? I went to my coach Adam. This is actually my first cut without my coach Adam now, so I'm going to see what he thinks of this. He might be very proud of me at the end of it. I was 70 kg. I look at women online who are in much better nick than me, okay? They're a lot tighter, they're more muscular than me, and they are 70 kg. So you're looking at people online, you're thinking, oh, she's 55 kg and she's like a little whip as she is, I'm going to try get to 55 kg, and you're like 65 kg with no body fat on you, only a little bit of a pouch on the front of your stomach. Like, you might think you'll be happy when you get to that number, but you won't be, okay? Because you're not going to be satisfied. You're not. You're going to keep chasing it. You're going to be, oh, don't let me arm fat, I'm going to try get down to 50 kg now. Focus getting stronger and building a decent base of muscle, okay? Because like I said, your metabolic rate increases, your resting metabolic rate. So when you're sitting on your arse watching the chase, your body is burning calories because you're carrying muscle tissue, okay? Like I always say, that when you are overweight and you're walking from A to B, like, that takes a lot of energy for your body to do. So you're burning calories by just walking. So, you know, just starting off like that, if you're a very overweight person, walking works wonders. It does. It burns a lot of calories, because again, you're shifting something that might weigh 80 to 90 kg from A to B, 10,000 steps over the course of a day. But if you put on an extra 5 kg to 10 kg of muscle, which can actually take up to 2 years, okay, that doesn't happen over 8 weeks, you again are shifting a 70 to 80 kg individual around a park for 3 laps. That's going to burn more calories because you're heavier, but you're heavier with muscle mass, not fat mass. And it's the same just sitting there watching the chase as well, okay? So yes, muscle, good foundation of muscle. Stick to maintenance calories. If your deficit is coming in at 1,100 calories, just increase your activity and start working out more in the gym, okay? And breathe. Okay, so what way is my program going to work? So I'm going to be training 5 days a week, 4 day legs, second day push and pull, which is, you know, chest, arms, back, biceps, etc. Tour day, pull again. Fourth and fifth day is legs, okay? So because I'm a female, my anatomy is, you know, my legs are pretty a dominant feature because I'm a female. So I obviously want to emphasize or capitalize on them. So train them more and get them nice and toned. They already are, actually, you know, but like, again, you can't build much muscle in a deficit. But I've been building muscle over the last 16 weeks. So now I'm trying to reveal it. Now I'm trying to drop a bit of body fat and reveal the muscle I've been building. So, you know, my hamstrings might look a bit more meatier, my glutes, which is what I've been focusing on, biceps, back, etc. No point building all this muscle and then down the line, you know, adding on more body fat and just hiding it. So that's another reason why I'm doing the mini cut too. And then, yeah, training 5 days a week, doing some cardio. Not going to reveal how much cardio I'm doing, lads, because it's literally different for every person. But if I was starting out, I would probably do 10 minutes on a Stairmaster or a cross trainer or a bike. I don't really like the bike, to be honest, because I just feel like you have to work harder to get your heart rate up on the bike, whereas I just like the Stairmaster or the cross trainer or an incline walk on the treadmill. If you're doing an incline walk on the treadmill, take your Fitbit off, because that's just going to track your steps and you're going to think at the end of the day, oh, I reached my 10,000 steps, but half of them were on the incline walk when that was supposed to be cardio. You have a toolbox when you're dropping body fat, okay? You have your steps, your cardio and your deficit. Your gym is there to shape your body underneath the fat loss, okay? So I wouldn't focus on burning calories when you're lifting weights. So what would happen is I would start with 10 minutes, the bare minimum. And if your scale is dropping after a week or no, we'll give it about 2 weeks, okay? Because I'm going to get into the weighing daily now in a minute. Give it about 2 weeks. If you're still the same weight after 2 weeks, are you tracking everything? Are you being very meticulous? Are you tracking your coffees? Are you tracking your high-cal sauces? Are you tracking at the end of the day and then forgetting about snacks that you've had? Okay, I always say to my own clients, track the night before or the morning of and have a plan going into the day. Know exactly what you have to eat. Are you being 100% by the book? Did you copy off someone else's calories? That's probably why the scale's not dropping. Are these your actual calories? Did you use a TD calculator? Are you going out the weekend and having two bottles of wine and wolfing kebab down in the shop on the way home? And that's probably why it's not dropping. If you are being by the book, yes, you can get away with having 3 glasses of wine on the weekend, 3 slim G&Ts, as long as you get back up the next day and just behave as normal. But if you are someone who has to have 10 drinks or none, then it's probably best to limit alcohol during a fat loss phase, to be honest. But again, it's how you feel the next day that really impacts your progress. You know, skipping the gym because you're too tired, you didn't get a good sleep, no energy, you're craving salty, high sodium foods, you end up overeating. It's just a massive domino effect. I actually won't be drinking during this deficit either. But I do have a wedding on the 26th of October, which is like the second last week of the cut. And I probably will have a few drinks there because I don't think I could do a wedding sober. And that's being honest. And I actually have a big day out the next day too. Well, it's not a big day out. It's a long day. I'm actually doing a show in Sligo. So it's going to be a long drive and stuff. And I want to have, you know, my head on my shoulders for that, because I have to perform. So I probably will start drinking a lot later and finish up a lot earlier as well. So like stick to, you know, vodka, soda water and lime, because the water is going to hydrate me, and then it's also low calorie as well. Okay, so I will be weighing daily, and I know I just talked about like wait for 2 weeks to see does your weight drop. And then what I would do is, if it didn't, okay, let's say it's lingering around the same weight and I'm being by the book, I would either drop my calories by 50 to 100 per day and leave my protein the way it is, take the calories from carbs and fats, okay? So you just reduce your carb portions to like a tiny amount. Like if you're having 60 grams of oats, have 50 instead. If you're having 120 grams of rice, have 110 or 100 grams, little things like that. Or I would increase my cardio by an extra 5 to 10 minutes post weight session, okay? Or I would increase my steps by 2,000 a day. Okay, so I'm doing 10,000 steps a day, 8 to 10,000 steps a day, 5 training sessions and a bit of cardio after. And I wouldn't use all three, okay? I would only alter one of them. There's no point using all three, all right? Alter one of them, give it another 2 weeks. Yes, it's a slow, tedious process, but the fast way is actually the fucking slow way, okay? If you keep chopping off 300 to 400 calories a day and adding an extra half hour onto the cardio machine, doing 20,000 steps instead of 10, how long do you think you're going to last? You're going to last about 3 days. You're going to burn out. You're going to end up binging. It hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work this time. Give it time. Listen to the expert. This is how I approach it. It's worked for me. I'm a shining example of fucking patience, okay? So that's what I would do. And then if there's fluctuations on the scale and you're weighing daily, this is why. If you are being by the book, of course, all right? You can't gain body fat overnight. So it's obviously water retention if the scale spikes. If you haven't had a shit in 2 to 3 days and you are eating on a consistent basis, you are adding to that waste, okay? So the weight could be due, the extra fluctuation or the spike is shit sitting in your colon, okay? That's literally it. You just need to go into the toilet and have a big one and you will drop a kilo in the space of 5 minutes. I've seen it happen before. I'm a shining example of that as well, okay? So you either ate later the night before, so you weigh yourself every morning before breakfast and after the loo. If you ate later than usual, the weight of that food is still sitting in your stomach. It probably hasn't been digested properly. Again, adding to the shit. And then carbs. So if you ate more carbs than usual the day before, but you still stayed in your deficit, and that's possible to do, okay? Some days you might not reach your protein intake. And with those with underachieving one macro, you might overachieve another. So if you didn't eat that much protein the day before, but you ate more carbs, your body's like, it stores one, for every 1 gram of carb, you store 3 to 4 grams of water. So you, if you're eating extra carbs the day before, the scale's going to spike a little bit because you have more water retention. Okay, that's literally it. And it will drop down after a day or two. And then it's not fat. It's not muscle. It takes months to build muscle. All right. So you aren't building muscle if the scale spikes overnight. If you had a low weigh-in today and then a high one tomorrow. Oh, I must have built muscle and I didn't. Oh, I must have gained fat. It takes weeks and months. If you overeat every day for weeks and you start seeing the scale go up over time, then that's probably a fat game. Okay. If you are in a deficit and you are exercising and you are expending a lot of energy and you're out walking, how would that be fat gain? Okay, if you are overeating your calorie deficit every day for weeks and the scale started to go up, that's probably fat gain. One night of overeating doesn't cause fat gain, okay? It will cause a spike on the scale because you're eating more carbs than usual, and that's what that is. Like, for example, I'm going out on Saturday for a meal with my other half, my partner. It's our anniversary and we're going for a meal together. Now, I couldn't do that in photo shoot prep because I had to be really, really strict, and that was a different ball game altogether. This one's a lot looser, this deficit. So I will plan ahead. And I will go out and have something, you know, with a protein source and a carb source. We're going to a Thai restaurant, so I'll probably have like chicken and black bean stir fry. That's usually clean enough. And I get to have a meal and I get to be present. And I'll build my meals around that to make sure that my breakfast lunch is, you know, high protein and I'm saving the bulk of my calories for that meal. The next day, the scale's probably going to spike and it's because of maybe extra carbs. That's literally it. Where old me would probably think, I shouldn't have gone out. Oh, like I'm such a failure. I've gained fat overnight. It's all because of that stir fry. When now I know and I've educated myself, which is why if you're following my Instagram stories, I'm trying to get people to understand why the scale fluctuates, why to not fear the scale. Don't let it control you. Understand it. Educate yourself on the fluctuation so you don't get attached to a number and let it dictate your mood for the day. And yeah, if I was weighing myself consistently for 2 weeks and it didn't drop, yes, you can get frustrated and you do get impatient. But guess what? If you give up, you guarantee that not changing altogether. All you have to do is make a few adjustments. I remember doing calorie deficits where my scale didn't change for a full fucking month and I still stuck it out. I said, this time I'm not going to give up. That's going to drop. All I have to do is make little changes. And then eventually it did. So when will what am I moving on to next? So obviously, if you are listening to this, you might be following my stories. I'm actually doing a follow along. Some people invested in my app for the 8 weeks as well, so they can follow along too. Some people are doing their own thing. Some people might be just watching in general. But if you're not following the stories anyway, obviously I have a platform. So I have about 47,000 followers now on my coaching page. And, you know, with more followers comes more opinions. And there's a lot of opinionated people out there, folks. I posted a picture of a bowl of Cheerios on my stories yesterday with a can of Monster, a sugar-free Monster. Now, that usually just gives me a little kick to go to the gym and a bit of fuel. I haven't died yet and I've been probably eating that stuff for the last 3 years. And I look in pretty decent shape, to be honest. And I haven't had any health issues. I'm the fittest and strongest I've ever been. So I think after 3 years, it's safe to say something like that in moderation isn't going to kill you, all right? So the bulk of the food I eat and post in my stories is pretty simple, basic, everyday stuff. And it's whole foods as well. And a lot of the stuff that I eat is healthy. I'm a big believer in the 80-20 rule. I still eat 20% crap, but 80% of it is decent foods, okay? And someone came into my DMs and was like, here, eating Cheerios and drinking a can of Monster, you lost me. That's outrageously bad to put into your diet or to put into your body. Fucking Cheerios and a can of Monster is literally nothing in the grand scheme of things. Because let me tell you this, these are the same people that go out on the weekend and drink a full bottle of wine and are quick to text me and say, oh, Cheerios are so bad. Okay, give me the evidence. Give me the research papers. Show me the people that have died from eating a bowl of fucking Cheerios. Like, there's worse things going on in the world and there's worse things that people are putting into their body than fucking Cheerios, and they still live to tell the tale. I am all about moderation, okay? And I am all about being realistic and simplistic. What type of mother? Because the majority of people who follow me are women in their mid-30s to 50s, okay? And a lot of them would be mothers and career-driven women as well. Who has the time to go into a supermarket, onto the cereal aisle, sit down on their honkers and read through every ingredient on a fucking cereal box? Who has the time to do that? Okay, I'm all about short, quick, snappy meals. What makes your life easier so you can sustain it? And yes, fuel yourself properly. eat the good carb sources, eat the good protein sources. Like, this is the stuff you need to be eating, okay? Because that's going to fuel you. It's going to help your gym workouts. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to give you more energy. And there's still room to have the Cheerios and the chocolate and the sugar and the cakes and the biscuits and the pastries. It's just, instead of 80% crap now, it's only 20%. And now you're eating 80% decent food and 20% crap, okay? And you're going to be able to stick to this. Toxic diet culture is obviously still alive and well. And my purpose on my page is, because someone else said, oh, you should be using your platform to promote healthy eating. No, I'm using my platform to banish toxic diet culture, to show women that fat loss doesn't have to be harrowing. You don't have to suffer. You can actually still eat the foods you enjoy every single day and, you know, drop a pound of body fat per week. That's still possible. I am a shining example of that. And that's what I want to showcase on my stories over these next 8 weeks. Like, after this podcast, I'm going to my local coffee shop. I'm going to get a cappuccino and I'm going to get a croissant. And I'm still going to carry on with my gym workout today. I'm still going to do my steps. I'm still going to do my cardio because I'm going to be consistent. And I'm not going to have one bad food or bad snack. I don't even like using that word, but a lot of people would class that food as bad. It's not bad. Anything, too much of anything is bad in the grand scheme of things. In moderation, it's fine, okay? In fact, I could eat a croissant. Let's just say my calorie deficit was 2,000 calories. It's not right, but let's just say if I ate 2,000 calories worth of croissants every day for 8 weeks, I would still drop body fat because I'm in a calorie deficit. Now, I'd feel shit and I'd be very hungry because it's zero fucking protein. But that's the science of it. You need to be in a calorie deficit. It doesn't matter what you eat, but what you eat is going to dictate how you feel in that calorie deficit, which is why I encourage people to eat protein to build and repair muscle, protein with each meal, and also to keep you full. All right, it actually takes longer to digest compared to carbs and fats. Carbs to give you energy, that's our body's petrol and diesel, and fats for hormone regulation. You know, it's just and micronutrients, obviously veg. But yeah, that is the purpose of me documenting this mini cut, to prove to you, you don't have to eat a head of lettuce and a handful of berries and nuts at every meal time to drop body fat. You can still socialize. You can still drink some alcohol. You can still enjoy fast food and still drop body fat. All right. And that's bringing me to the end of this podcast. Yeah. So won't be drinking alcohol. We'll still be eating out on the weekends. Well, when I say eating out on the weekends, I mean, if I'm invited to go for a meal, like, I'll go, you know, I won't say no, I'm in a deficit. But I probably won't be going for like lunch, dinner 3-4 times a week. Like, I'll probably make it a general rule of thumb that I'll eat out once a week, just because I like to control what's going in and out of my body. Like, I know what's going into it and I can measure it, because if we can't measure it, we can't really control it then, you know, which is why I say to my own clients, try just limit it when you're in a deficit to eating it once a week, because if we get into that habit, we don't know what the chefs are throwing into the meals and stuff. And it gets very complicated when the scale starts to stall. Oh, well, I'm sticking to everything. I'm being by the book. I'm like, yeah, but you're eating out 3 times a week and you don't know what's in that food and you're just loosely tracking it. That's probably why you're only losing 0.5 pound a week instead of a pound. And yeah, I'll be training 5 days a week, doing some cardio, and I'll be documenting it on my story. So if you haven't been looking at my stories yet, Coach Jenya on Instagram, go over, have a look. I have a highlight as well. I'm not going to save every single story into the highlight, but just things that people might, you know, want to know down the line, or like information that people need to know, etc. So yeah, pop on there, give us a follow, and tune in next week. And thanks for listening to the podcast as always. Sorry for the long delay, but I'm back now. I'm back in the rhythm of it, and sorry if you've missed me, but I'll be back to consistent posting now, because I want to update people on this cut and, you know, use it. I know sometimes I can repeat myself in each podcast, but it is just down to the bare basics, lads. It's just being in a deficit and being consistent and being patient and eating protein, and you can still enjoy foods. Like, that's literally the basics of it. All right. But yes, tune in next week. Thanks for listening.